Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Oh, what's going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, and the duo has reunited. Wayne, the man. It is the John and Wayne Show. How are we doing today, man?
Great. Did you know 37 years ago on this day was the Batman movie?
The Batman.
1989, Michael Keaton.
Legend.
Legend. Jack Nicholson.
Let me just say this. My most used gif, probably, like in texting with friends, is that Michael Keaton where he's sitting there, and then all of a sudden he sees the bat signal. And
yeah.
like that. That's my whole mode of friendship. It's like, dude, I'm like a vampire. You invite me, I show up. It's very, very simple. And so you just got to put up the bat signal. You let me know Chaps wanted, and Chapman's going to show up. What a great freaking movie, man. Nicholson, yeah. Freaking Tim Burton, Kim Basinger. Like, let's just come on, man.
Yeah.
Dude, 37 years?
Greatest movies of all time. I will put that in there, top 10 for sure.
I love the whole Batman franchise. I was never a Superman guy because it's just too cookie cutter for me. I need darkness in my life.
Yeah,
I need,
me too.
You got to go like a Punisher, you know what I mean?
Yeah, give me the dark guys. Yeah. That's funny because even in music, I like playing in minor chords. I like the dark chords better than the bright chords, the major chords, you know, so.
Yeah. All right. Look at us. We're freaking getting
more emotion.
Well, it is absolutely incredible to be with you, Wayne. Sorry for the past couple of weeks. A lot of that was on me. And this summer's going to be weird. I'm going to be out of town for a couple of weeks. So we're going to miss some more time. But
Next week I'll be back on the island. So it's hard to stream there now. I'm starting. It's not a real island. It's just the island on the East Coast. It's pretty shitty. But I'm there for the people and the vibes, right? So I gotta perform. But it's just hard to stream. They changed the timing slot to one instead. It used to be two. So I would go live at one. They changed it, and then I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to focus being live here. We could record some stuff, but live, it's just it's too much.
Especially in the off season, whenever it's rough going and, you know, whatever. What it is. Look at this. Who is the Drizzle? Adam West is my Batman. Yeah. Caesar as the Joker. Like, all right, cool.
Now you took it way back. He took it back to the TV show Batman.
Pow. Bam.
Yeah. Kapam. The onomatopoeia. Didn't know what that was when I was growing up until I learned that that's an actual word with a meaning. Onomatopoeia.
I love it. Nostalgia. Jax, John and Wayne, faithful. Hope everyone's doing all right. Football is back, baby. We've got the date set, man. They come out. They let you know when the rookies report. They let you know when the vets report. We've got joint practices with the Titans and Chargers. Like, it's all kind of set. We still don't have the exact dates for the entire training camp whenever fans come out and be a part and whatever else. But, man, we're getting close. 79 days as of this recording. Still kickoff. 79 days. Harrison Barton. Days away. We are getting close, man. I freaking love it. So what we're going to do today, a little bit different show than normal. We're going to be going over 2026 49ers stat projections and just having a conversation. And if somebody watching live, you want to throw in, you know, something you want to talk about, if it's over, under, whatever else, just throw that in the chat and we'll try to do our best to get to them. And so we're just going to have a conversation and try to see. Now, I'm wearing a faithful hat. You know, Wayne's got his residency SF. Use code SF Breezy, you know, at residency.com. Amazing company. So check that out. But we're not going to be homers and just say over on all of these, but we'll see how it goes. So I wanted to start off with a little bit of a complex one. Comeback Player of the Year is always an interesting award. The 49ers have not one, not two, but three contenders all in the top 10 for odds for Comeback Player of the Year. Nick Bosa plus 1,900, Fred Warner plus 1,900, and George Kittle plus 2,200. So I want to focus just on those three guys. Who do you think will be the comeback player of the year for the 49ers out of Bosa, Warner, and Kittle for the 2026 season? Oh, look at that. He's deep
in thought. Tough, right? Like I think it's going to be it all depends. It's crazy because it all depends on how well Bosa does. If I know Fred Warner is going to come back and be consistent in his play, but I feel I'll give it to Fred. Let me give it to Fred.
I think it's Fred.
You know what? Let's switch this. I'm gonna give it to Nick Bosa, and Fred's going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, dude, that would be huge. That would
I hope I didn't jump shit, but I just feel like Fred's going to have a year because he's got his sidekick back. He's got his Robin back.
Oh, look at this. Yeah. Drake Greenlaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Drake Greenlaw is Robin's little. That's rough for me.
That's rough for me too, right? Like Batman needed a better sidekick. Like nothing wrong with Robin, but.
Nothing wrong with Robin. Holy Skittles, Batman.
Yeah, you took it back to the old one. But no, there's nothing wrong with Robin. No, it's just, yeah, we saw some bad Robins.
We saw some bad Robins. Smash the over on the double hat tip. What's up? The Striking Gold Podcast. Rob Louder, you're the man. It seemed like Warner, I am just to the moon about Fred Warner. One, he's only missed one game in his entire career before last year. And the rehab schedule. Mm-hmm. That is the difference because Warner was ready to roll last year in the playoffs. He just needed to win one more game. They didn't get to do it, but he was fully practicing. Like, Warner is ready to be shot out of a cannon. Nick Bosa, do we even think Nick Bosa plays week one? Like, do you think Nick Bosa makes the trip to Australia?
Yeah, I think Bosa is going to be ready to go week one. I mean, Bosa, no one trains, I would say, better. For lack of words, than Nick Bosa. Like, the dude has training down packed, and the dude has recovery from ACL injuries down packed too. If you go back to the year of the first ACL injury, that dude came back and gave you 15 and a half sacks that next year. Then the following year, he won Defensive Player of the Year. So
he's done this before.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's a proven track record here. I think Bosa got early, and he got injured early enough. He's probably ahead of schedule as well. So I think Bosa can win that comeback player of the year award. He'll probably finish the year with high double digit sacks. I would say 15, maybe 15 or you know. And then, you know, the year after is where he's probably going to super tune up and turn up.
See, I had contract a question here for Nick Bosa. So this was later. I had the over under at 10 and a half sacks, which he's only done it 3 times in his career out of 7 years. You're saying 15.
Yeah. So if you got the over, if you said 10 and a half, you said I'm taking it over. Yeah. I'm taking it over.
Only done it 3 times. So you're
saying this team is constructed differently this year though. Like, you got to look at how the team is built. The team is built now, like, for him. I know we love to watch players get sacks, especially on the other teams. We look at Pittsburgh with TJ Watt, it's more of an outside linebacker. You look at Myles Garrett, who you can kind of compare a little bit more to the Nick Bosa. But what did Myles Garrett have that Nick Bosa didn't have?
He had a lot better supporting cast.
But way Miles better supporting cast. Miles, I mean, Garrett's the interior, yeah, the defensive line was stout. That's something that Cleveland really took heed to and invested in. So, you know, John, I think the Niners realize we've got to get Bosa some help. They traded for Osa. That should help him out. And so I think the interior is going to be better. And so I think Bosa has a better year on the double digit side. So I'm going to go over the 10 and a half.
Dude, I would take that. If you told me 11 sacks, I'd sign up for it right now. Like, yeah. Because one, I think Nick Bosa, my favorite thing about him is he's just a complete defensive end. He's
complete.
I think he's better against the run than he is the pass. And he's led the NFL in sacks before. Like, the dude can do it all. It's just, health has been a major concern in these major injuries. You do with what you got to do. Now, we're getting a lot of these questions. Shout out to Kimbro, the legend. When does Kittle come back? If you expect Bosa to be out there, Kittle is, you know, he's doing the tight end university. He's talking about how he's running 16 miles an hour, you know, in cleats on the field and all that kind of stuff at tight end U. I still don't think we see him in September even. Like, yeah. I think he misses the first four
October,
games.
is kind of where I have him. I remember I was doing something and I said, listen, it's okay too. Like, I think Kittle is going to be the key piece to unleashing the offense, but I think signing a guy like Mike Evans helps you for 4 weeks. Like, it's okay. Maybe a lot of 11 personnel on the football field, John, early. Let these three wide receiver sets kind of get used to playing with one another. Let Brock and the chemistry and the stuff build and stuff like that in that 11 personnel. Keep Christian McCaffrey on the football field as much as you can. Sub in that one running back. So you don't change up. You don't make things too confusing. Keep Jake Tonjes out there as a pass receiver. See if he's gotten better at blocking as well in the run game. But I think 11 personnel, and you got a guy like Mike Evans, I think that's going to be the bandage of not having Kittle early. And then when Kittle comes back, oh my gosh, you could unleash the Kraken.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. It's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. Yeah. And man, again, if you told me George Kittle only misses four games, I sign up for that right now. Achilles at 32. Those are rough recoveries. Those are rough ones. So like if he could come back and be a shadow of what we've seen, I think that's kind of huge. I really, really do. And yeah, we need Kittle healthy in January. So if Tonjes can kind of hold the line, which we've seen him have so much success in the past before.
Yeah.
And so that's there. Look at this. Jack Knox says, you know, I'm excited to see our offense with Mike Evans on it. So let's go to Mike Evans.
Let's do it.
The over under by different betting sites is 899 and a half yard, basically 900. Receiving yards for Mike Evans.
Nah, over.
You're going over?
I am. I think Mike is the automatic 1,000-yard receiver. By default, that's his system. That's the way he's built. He's a 1,000-yard receiver. You can't give me 10 consecutives and then look at the 1 year and be like, well, he didn't do it. Then you got to factor in
11 times. He did it 11 consecutive times.
Excuse me, 11 consecutive times, right? And then you look at the 12th, the last year, and be like, oh my God, he couldn't do it. I mean, he was injured.
He only played 8 games last year.
Yeah.
Two injuries. He had the collarbone and then the bad hamstring.
Yeah, the hamstring. Yeah. So, like, I think he's just an automatic thousand yard receiver. I don't think we're paying attention to like what that means. Like, this is probably the best receiver Kyle Shanahan has had since Julio Jones. As far as the term of the dynamic and what they're different receivers, but they both are X's. They're just utilized differently, right? Like, Mike Evans is more the big body red zone target threat opposed to the underneath routes, getting the ball into Julio's hands like they did with Julio quick. They're different, but they still are that dynamic. I'm not looking for him to be a speed demon. I'm looking for him to block, and I'm looking for him to be a dominant force in the red zone. But I think he's just an automatic 1,000-yard wide receiver. He did it on the same team with Chris Godwin and other players. He's going to do it here.
My biggest, if I'm going to push back, I'm like, dude, there's so many targets. Christian McCaffrey's going to be the primary guy again. He's going to get 100-plus targets. Ricky Pearsall, somehow he stays. You don't think he will?
I don't think he's going to be the primary guy. I don't think he has to be anymore. I think by default, he had to be the primary guy last year. He just had to be. You had no consistency. Inconsistent Ricky Pearsall with the injuries. He had Juwan Jennings was beat up and then inconsistent, dropping passes early in the season. You had no Brandon Ayuk. You had who was Brock throwing the ball to? It was Christian McCaffrey.
So Mac Jones, even more so.
Right. So I think this year, right, you look at the team, you say, what did they do? They didn't go out and get one. They got two veteran wide receivers for Brock Purdy. And you got a guy that can kill you underneath. You got a guy that can kill you over the top. And you got somebody that could work the middle of the field in a Ricky Pearsall. So you just lessen the stress of a Ricky Pearsall. You got your X wide receiver and a big body guy at 6'5". And then you got your underneath guy in Christian Kirk. If those guys are healthy, Brock Purdy's going to be throwing anticipated passes again. And I think that's something that we need. That's what Brock wants. And I think now he's less thinking and he's more processing to the point where I'm putting a ball to a spot. You're behind, need to be there, period.
That's what I want. I want to see the back shoulder fade. Like the first time Brock throws a back shoulder fade to Mike Evans or Deshaun Stribling, who I think runs that route well too, I'm just going to lose my mind. Like, it's not going to be that significant, but I'm just going to be like, oh, this is all I've ever wanted for Christmas. Like, this is everything. Look at Maria. Evans comes in hot with 1,000 yards. He's ready to, again, the betting line is 900. Everybody's saying 1,000. I didn't even say 1,000. But yeah, he almost tied Jerry Rice for the most 1,000-yard seasons in a row, consecutive, whatever. Like, it's incredible. My concern is health in competition for targets. But the opportunities should be there. If he stays healthy, it stays out there. There is Ricky Pearsall. There is Kittle at some point. There is Christian McCaffrey. There is Deshaun Stribling. Like, there's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense.
Now, there are a lot of mouths to feed, but not simultaneously. Like, not at the same time. Like, so when you look at Stribling, we don't know how much he's going to be utilized. Stribling is the future. So let's just put the ice on Stribling right now, right?
Well, okay, real quick before you move off that, okay, what would you say to this from Kid Clientele?
No, he's not playing week one.
You don't you think he's going to be a healthy scratch?
I just think this is a guy that you don't have to utilize. Like, it's all about the arsenal, right? It's all about having healthy pieces throughout 17 weeks going into the playoffs, right? And so I think Stribling comes along. He's going to be learning the game. He will get snaps, but he won't be your starting wide receiver out there. And I think in your base, you know what I'm saying? So he's going to get snaps. Just like I think on the defensive side, Romello Height will get snaps. Depending if he's the Sam linebacker or not, that's another question. But I would limit the expectations on the rookies. I'm okay with that because I understand what we're doing. When you look at Deshaun Stribling, you're like, okay, 1 year Mike Evans, basically, even though it's, a three-year deal, but it's all paid off kind of like in the first year, and you kind of like move on. Niners can move on, right? You went and drafted a 6'3 guy that could do the same thing and win in the same ways. What better person do you have to learn the game from him? Now, when his number gets called, or if his number gets called to go out there and be the X, then yes, that stuff happens. That stuff goes up. But you got Mike Evans, and you got a healthy Christian Kirk right now. You put those veterans out there, man, and you let Brock feast. You give him some veteran players that understand football, that understand the locker room, that understand the nuances, and you let Brock cook.
I like that. Gravy says his 65 catches for Stribling possible. I'm going to say no, not this year. He's going to have to wait.
It's a long line. But again, anything can happen. This is football. So if his number is called, he will get those opportunities. And I'm okay with it, though. I'm starting to understand. I'm okay. Even though I do want to see our rookies develop, I'm okay in this room. If you don't got to take Mike Evans off the football field, don't take him off the football field. Because you got to think the matchups. Nobody's fearing a Deshaun Stribling. But God, if Brock Purdy sees man coverage on Mike Evans, he's throwing the ball to Mike Evans every single time. It's just a non-negotiable.
How many 6'5 corners are there? Zero. There's one 6'4 guy, and he's on the 49ers.
49ers. You took the words right out of my mouth. Right?
I want to watch those kit matchups, just like big right. on big, power forward on power forward.
Right, because right now, I think in OTAs, he was abusing Demo, rightfully so. He's 6'5". He's
done it his whole career, his whole entire career.
That's what I mean.
Does 32 scare you?
No. Age doesn't scare me in football for some reason. You can never, I understand father time catches up, and we're not asking him to be speedy. We're asking him to be efficient. We're asking him to produce and execute on the football field. He doesn't win with speed. He never has won with speed. So why we shouldn't even expect that.
See, that's why I think the touchdowns will be there for Mike Evans. I think the yards, mm-hmm. maybe not as much.
It's weird, though. How did he do it for 11 years without speed?
It's a vertical passing game that they ran with Bruce Arians.
You don't think that's going to be a part of this game now that you've got a vertical passer, a receiver?
I hope more so. Just you the have threat to. Alone is there now.
Yeah, you have to.
Your ex was 4'7", Juwan Jennings last year. Now you have Juwan
you
Jennings.
Have to.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Evans.
Mike Evans at 32 is still faster than Juwan Jennings.
Yes. Oh, that's, yeah. Mike Evans at 32 is faster than Juwan Jennings was at 22.
Yeah. I'm just saying, the defenses will have to respect him. So if they choose to respect him, maybe that limits his yards a little bit. But somebody's eating.
Somebody's got to. And it's not going to be Kittle early.
Won't be Kittle early. Kittle comes in and shapes the offense. He's like the cap on the offense. Because you already know what Kittle can do. He's your crosser. He's your middle guy. He's your seam guy down the middle. Right? He does all of that. The league knows. But he's still unstoppable. There's not too many safeties that can cover a guy like George Kittle. He's not here right now, so you got to put those three wide receivers out there on the football field. That is funny.
Big Red. Evans came out of the womb faster than Juwan Jennings.
He was quicker.
That Galveston ball, you got to run down there. That's all I'm saying. The Galveston people, you know what we're talking about. Real quick update. We do have a Zoom hangout scheduled for this upcoming Monday on the 29th, 5 p.m. Pacific time. So if you haven't signed up at the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel, go check that out. We'll spend an hour together as the faithful. Just get to talk about all these fun things. This is the time I get to hear from you. And as well, you've got to check out patreon.com/TheWayneBreezy. What do you got going on over there this offseason, and what can people expect for the season?
All right, man. I got a lot of interactive stuff going on there. Patreon's been switching it up, and they're kind of getting more into my lane, right? So it doesn't have to necessarily be videos, but I'm posting there a lot. And it's more kind of like more of a private type of interaction and more intimate setting, right? So join the Patreon. Tons of audio podcasts that I've got going on over there. So if you guys want to hear some deeper dives on what we discuss on the live shows, you can get that on the Patreon. The live videos the video posts will pick up as the season comes along, and you'll get, you know, the good old goodies. But right now I'm just flooding Patreon with info, with stuff. It's so beautiful.
That's awesome. I love it. If you like what Wayne does, which who doesn't? That is how you support us, whether you're there for the content or you're there to support what we do so that we can continue to do. There's different ways. There are people that support us that perhaps don't digest all the content, and that's okay. If you like what we do, that is the way we feed ourselves and just go about our business. So support us over there, please. We appreciate it. All right, let's go to a little bit more team specific over under.
Let's do it.
10.5 wins for the 49ers is the Vegas betting odds. Over under, I have a hard time with this one because I'm just like, how do they not get to 11 wins? They're still playing the third place schedule. You know, obviously the travel's a little bit weird, but they had 12 wins last year. 11 just seems to be the threshold. Over under 10.5 wins, Wayne.
Yeah, it's over for me. I mean, I gave y'all my predictions. I'm going with 13, probably is the max. I think 13 is where they win. It's going to be tough. But the schedule is tough, even though it's easy. It's the traveling part of the scheduling that can be wear and tear on the team. And if we're worried about the team and their age, this is a part that factors into age and stuff like that, because the older players get, the longer it takes them time to recover and heal from a week's worth of work. So yeah, that can be that. But I definitely have us going over 10.5 wins.
I do as well, and I'm betting that. I'm putting my own money there. And no, I did not miss the super chat. I haven't starred. I just missed it. Here we go. I did miss it. Yeah, Tommy, the man, thank you so much for calling me out. Thanks for the super chat. He says, Kittle comes back Halloween to sing Wayne's favorite tune, Somebody's Watching Me.
Yeah, man. Written by Michael Jackson himself. He even sings the hook. That's him singing.
Oh, I went and watched Michael the other day. It was so good.
Who's watching? Yeah.
It was so good.
I heard, bro. I heard it was phenomenal.
I was a Michael guy. I went to the Thriller tour whenever I was a kid. My mom took me. We had like the cheap seats in Dallas, and I had nightmares for like weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah, that's what it takes for like 50 bucks.
Yeah, that was one of the coolest things. I was a diehard Michael. I was Michael Jackson multiple years in a row. I had the red leather jacket, mm-hmm. You know what I mean, for Halloween. Yeah. You know, I was out there. I still can't dance, but dude, I had that Thriller dance down, son. I watched that freaking.
What's our schedule for Halloween, by the way?
We're bye week. I am home for Halloween for the first time maybe ever. Yeah, that's the bye week. There's no game. I filled out my schedule yesterday with the wife.
I asked that because then there's no Kittle will be back sometime in October.
Yeah, I think so too. But now October 31, I would say before that. But yeah. Tommy did say bye Halloween. I do think that he will be back by Halloween.
Yeah, but we're not playing around the Halloween time.
Atlanta right before Halloween, boys. Oh,
so that would be the question. Do you bring him back before or after the bye?
Before. Yeah, I think he'll be ready early October, and you just let him get out there and let him have the bye after a game or two, kind of see where it's at maybe. I don't. But, again, if you told me George Kittle's first game is November – I wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
That's closer to the actual timeline he should be on. It's more likely that the 1st of November is his first game than week one. I just don't think week one's even in the conversation.
I agree. I agree. You allow him to heal. And again, getting a guy like Mike Evans is, it helps solve that. It helps, you know, keep that on the ice. So you can give him more time to kind of like recover. We talk about an Achilles, and you don't want that to go out there and pop. And we know Achilles players play. I feel like players play more confident coming back from an ACL than they do an Achilles. And so, that's why not to flip the script. I think Dre Greenlaw is gonna have a phenomenal year because now he's 2 years out of that injury, out of his own head. Now he could just play and react and fire. Yeah.
This is what I was building a while ago. Is the over under Dre Greenlaw playing 11.5 games over under? Now, he hasn't done this a lot. You look at games start, he's only started over that twice his whole career. He misses time. He just plays too violent.
Yeah. With his injury history, I think I'll take the under on that.
Yeah. To be honest with you, if you get nine games, you're getting what you paid for.
For sure, because it's not costing as much.
And you've got so much depth at the position. Like, as long as he's out there for the first month, I think that's going to be key.
And if that is to happen, rather it happen sooner than later. Mm. We need Dre. We need Dre in the playoffs. So like, yeah,
there we go. Shout out to Peachy. I didn't get to say hi earlier. You are the absolute best of the best. And Jax, look at this. They're going at it. Okay, let's go with this. Let's go back to Brock Purdy, because this is the one that I'm like, all right, this is my most over. I'm under on more of these than Wayne is. His betting totals for Vegas, Brock Purdy over under pass yards, 3,850 and a half yard. They always do the half yard, which is the fifth most projected for any quarterback in the NFL. His highest ever is 3,864. So like, but the 49ers are throwing the ball so much now. They're throwing the ball so much, and you added five wide receivers.
I think he's getting 4,000 yards this year.
I do, too. And what, he already has the record for most passing yards ever, but now you have the 17th game. You're adding all these wide receivers. The run game is not and will not be what it used to be, even though I think it will rebound some from what it was last year. I don't think you'll be bottom four in the NFL in rush yards per attempt. I don't think you're going to be top five, though, with CMC. And Jake Brendel, I just don't see that. But I do think it's going to be very pass heavy. And so we talk about, like, man, the competition for Mike Evans to get to 1,000. Brock's going to have different options at different points this season.
For sure. It's all going to come down to his processing. Like, it, the cool thing is, whether he throws to the receivers or the running back, they can get yards. So that's going to help Brock out big time. I want Brock to continue to develop in the check down game. If it's not there, check it down. You know who is a good check down guy too? Jake Tonjes. Like, that's part of his game. So utilize that if need be. But I know Brock's looking to push the ball down the football field. So it's all going to come down to Brock and the players and the chemistry and them being on the same page. But I just got a funny feeling, because of the weapons that they added, Brock is going to be a 4,000-yard guy.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is projecting him very, very high. And Juan, appreciate you, man. He says, is the O-line a concern for going over 3,800 pass yards? I'll go to you first, Wayne, as I'm choking over here. What are your thoughts?
No. I felt like the offensive line protected Brock and Mac Jones better than what we perceive them to do. Were there times that guys missed blocks? Yep. But they didn't give up a lot of sacks. They gave up some pressures, and due to Brock's ability to be able to escape some stuff, he helped the offensive line. But I just don't see the offensive line being a huge problem. Can it be better? Yeah, for sure. But they're not investing in the offensive line like that. Like, that's just not what this regime does. They like continuity. They bring in the only question mark is left guard, and the rest of the people there. Now, that doesn't mean that Carver Willis or someone doesn't beat out Jake Brendel for the start in centers. I don't know. We'll find out at these camp battles. But right now, the continuity from the offensive line is there. The only hole question mark is who's going to play at the left guard spot. And so with that, I don't think we have to. I think the offensive line can hold up, because now you got receivers that can get open too. You can't blame the offensive line for everything when guys running out for routes are struggling to create separation. I think the receivers will help the offensive line in that sense. We'll find out, but that's what I think.
Yeah, and, you know, the biggest question mark for me in the offensive line is and has always been Jake Brendel. Jake Brendel's not terrible in pass pro. Like, yeah, he gets pushed back a little bit, but, like, he's pretty consistently, like, the problem with Jake Brendel is the run game. Dude just can't move a soul to save his life.
Terrible.
And that's the problem. So my questions for the offensive line stem way more for the run game than they do the pass protection. Trent, no question. Jake Brendel, pass pro, I'm cool with. Dominique Pooney, if he's healthy, yes. He's going to have one or two get beat by an outside speed guy. But, like, I think that this offensive line is built more for pass protection than is the run game. And so it almost, like, gosh, I tick up the passing game even more so because that's the way they're built, to throw the freaking ball. They're not built to be movers. And you just don't have that with two of your offensive linemen. That's a problem.
I understand. And I'm not saying, like you said, I'm not saying Jake Brendel's the answer at the center position, but he is a part of the continuity. He knows the offense. He knows the protections. And so we just going to have to go out there and rock out with what we have. I would say I think Brock, he upgrades a little bit in understanding his offense. It's all about the continuity, man. Don't change it up. It was working. That offensive line got us to the divisional round game. So at the end of the day, we made it. We just didn't. We couldn't beat Seattle. And I know that everybody's
going to Seattle bullied the hell out of them. There's no doubt.
And that's not a question. And can the will the offensive line be able to sustain that this year? I say hell yeah. I do. I think they got beat up. They were beat up. They just played Philly. And then they got beat up by Seattle. Took advantage of a weak offensive line. Think it changes this year. Comes down to mentality for me. And who's going to be that left guard? That's the key.
The left guard is key. And, you know, again, for those of you that are like, man, center run blocking is an issue. Carver Willis is an amazing run blocker. He's the antithesis of Jake Brendel in the fact that he struggles in pass pro. He can't anchor. But, man, he is a run blocking savant. Mm-hmm. And so I like that. Enrique Cruz, same thing. Like, the horizon, the future, they are prioritizing run blocking, just not this year. And right here, man, let's stick with this. Dynamite Dave, 35-year-old tackle, a 32-year-old center. You don't think we have O-line issues? Not in pass pro, I don't. You look at Trent Williams, the second team All-Pro last year. So one of the questions I had for you, will Trent have another first or second team All-Pro season? He's done it four out of the six seasons he's been with the Niners. He did it last year.
If the left guard spot is solidified and doing its part, Trent will be first team All-Pro.
First team?
Yeah. Just think about it, though. He would have been first team All-Pro last year, but because he was overcompensating, there weren't too many tackles in the league better than Trent, maybe two, right?
And so that, if you're third and fourth best tackle, then you get second team All-Pro. Yeah, that's correct.
So maybe Sewell, maybe who was the other guy? Maybe
was it Decker? Worf?
Maybe Tristan Wirfs. I think my point is,
Tristan Wirfs and Penei Sewell. Yeah, you nailed it. Sewell.
So my issue though is Trent was overcompensating a lot on film, and we get that from Niner players. We watch Fred Warner do it. These guys overcompensate, and then they make a lot of mistakes. But you're doing what you got to do, you know. I don't think Trent will have to overcompensate depending on who is that left guard spot, whoever's playing left guard.
Yeah, I think Trent's 37. I don't think he's 35.
He's definitely 37.
Who is the Drizzle says, I wish Trent was 35. I wish I was 35. No, I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm good. I'm, I like
water. I wish I had my 35-year-old knees back.
Dude, I hurt my shoulder sleeping.
Yes. That's the worst.
My shoulders hurt for a week.
That's the worst.
We don't want to go down this one. We're going to change gears here. And this one is my biggest under. Christian McCaffrey over 125 and a half rush yards. I'm going under as hard as I can.
Over 125 rush yards.
What? I'm sorry, 1,025 rush yards on the season. Oh. I don't think.
What did he have last year?
1,200. 1,200.
You don't think he'll have 1,200 rushing yards this year?
I do not. The amount of carries it took him to get there, I do not. So, one, health is a big concern. Four times in his career, he has not gotten to 10 starts. And, you know, he had 311 carries, the most carries he's ever had. I do not think that he hits that number. I want him to stay as healthy as he was last year. I just, again, talked about the offensive line and run blocking, talked about like that's an issue for me. I do think some other running back has to get more carries. So whether it's injury related, wear down related, lack of explosives related, not that I don't think Christian McCaffrey will be effective over 1,000 yards. I do not see that taking place. Every time he's had a lot of carries, the following year was a major letdown. And I hope I'm wrong.
I think he'll be a 1,000-yard rusher. 1,200, though? No.
Yeah. You think he'll hit 1,000 yards?
I think he'll get 1,000 yards. What was your over or under again?
1,025 and a half yards.
Damn, so I got to pick the under.
Yeah. I mean, he's only done it, you know, he's done it five times in his career. He hasn't done it four times. So, I don't know, man.
I just feel like the running game still has to work. So it's part of the Kyle Shanahan offensive system. But play action pass is the system. We have to get to play action pass. We have to ignite it with the run game. I think with the run blocking, if the run blocking takes a step in the right direction, we're going to run the ball until we can't run the ball anymore. It doesn't matter who's out there. We got to run the goddamn ball. I think Christian McCaffrey, though, is feeling some type of way. I got this funny, I'm getting a funny vibe from Christian McCaffrey. It's good vibe, though, because it's like a war vibe. It's like, okay, you trying to replace me? All right. That's the vibe I'm getting. So I'm going to rush for 500 yards in one game type of vibe. Not that that's going to happen, but that's, I like that mentality, though. I feel like that's his mentality.
There we go. A little bit of breaking news doesn't affect the 49ers. The NFL just announced they will not be holding a supplemental draft this year.
Correct.
And Brandon Sorsby will not be eligible to join the NFL this season. The one thing from this whole Brandon Sorsby thing is I'm so thankful the Rams didn't get him and that they got Ty Simpson. I'm very thankful. And maybe somebody clips this and Ty Simpson's a future Hall of Famer. Who knows? Probably my favorite part of the entire draft process was the Rams taking Ty Simpson at 13. I'm still psyched about that one. Do with that what you will. Do with that what you will. All right, let's go to Ricky Pearsall. Over under 600 yards. He hasn't even gotten close to this in his first or second year. Will he surpass 600 yards this season?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because you're missing... There's no George Kittle.
He will be there.
Yeah, but he's not going to be. He has 4 weeks to cake. I think Kittle gets the month, right? This is Ricky Pearsall time. This is the time he can show and prove. He has 4 weeks to bust out. He could probably get 100 yards per game, and then he needs 200 yards after that. He was the most dynamic player we had last year, like as far as explosive plays. He just couldn't stay healthy.
And so 2 years in a row now, and he was already missing times during OTAs. Like, this is just, it's kind of like, I want to see it. This dude never missed a game in 5 seasons in college, and then gets the NFL, and it's just like, it's what it is. But, 1,000 for
just
Ricky.
Just a slow start to his career. I didn't say 1,000 for Ricky.
Yeah, Shade says, Wayne, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. 1,000 for Ricky.
But, that's not going to happen. I don't see that happening, Shane. But 600 over, give it to me, baby.
I like it. I mean, he's got to do it at some point. He had like 520 is the most he's had in his season. But he's it's there. He passes the eye test.
He passes the eye test, and I think teams are gonna have to start prepping for him. Once they start to see him slip out and be like, "Oh man, this guy's killing us," that's what the whole purpose of getting a Mike Evans helps everybody on this offense.
I agree. Yeah, Strawberry, 600. That's a bad year. It still would be a career year for him.
I don't think it'd be a bad year for him if the offense is productive, but his contribution, that would be good. Especially if we're talking, so like, I said Mike Evans 1,000, right? That's 600. That's only 1,600 yards. Where is Brock Purdy's 4,000 yards coming from?
Kittle's going to get eight.
Yeah. They got to come from somewhere. And then Christian McCaffrey.
He's getting 700 easy.
Right. So how's he making? So I can see why Shane says he might get 1,000. Can the 49ers have 2,000 yard receivers in the same season?
They had three. You remember the year they had three where it was Kittle, Debo, and Ayuk?
And Ayuk.
They had three. I think injury, it's a little more diversified now.
Yeah, Kittle's injury will hinder his 1,000-yard season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's there. Now, I've got a bunch of starred ones. Let's see here. Mike Evans, shout out to Doc Savage, over 67 receptions. I think he's done that. Pretty much every single twice in his career, he has not hit 67. Over under, only twice he hasn't done that.
Yeah, I think he's back to form. I'm going over.
Over?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. All right. Shane says, what is the touchdown to interception ratio?
32.
He was 2-1 last year, which is decent. Not good, though.
Yeah, I think it's going to be NFL. 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Damn. The best that he had was, you go back to 2023, 31-11.
He's going to beat that.
Gosh, man, if he can cut down on those negative plays.
Bro, I'm telling you, the negative plays, some were his fault, but I think he's got a better cast.
Oh,
and I think that's going to help him out. So I'm going 32-8. You figure out the ratio.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that. Okay, here we go. Kimbrough, how many more blitzes/sacks do you need this year? 49ers were bottom 5 in blitzes, dead last in sacks last year. Raheem Morris was the second most aggressive blitz play caller slash team last year, and they were top 5 in sacks. I think that this is probably the biggest discrepancy from Robert Saleh to Raheem
Blitz.
He just what Robert Saleh is the most vanilla defensive play caller maybe in the past 20 years in the NFL. Like, he made Nick Sorensen look like freaking spicy Thai food. You know what I mean? Like, that dude just he's we're going to simple. We're going to rally and tackle. And that's just what it is. And teams knew exactly what we're doing. That's why whenever you played against quality play callers, you got spanked defensively because they knew what was coming and they could take advantage of you. But
get that Ben Morris break stuff out of here, man. It's gone now.
Yeah, you got to be aggressive, man. Mm-hmm. You can say all gas, no brakes, but it's just like, man, really? Put 4 defensive ends out there. It's not really scaring people in today's climate. So I think way more sacks, obviously. That's probably going to be the biggest difference between 2025 and 2026. Pressure on the quarterback. And you can talk about the injuries. You can talk about whatever else. But, like, all throughout Robert Saleh's tenure, besides 2019 and 2020, low sack totals. With the 49ers, it's just what it is. So more on both of those. Right here, we talked a little bit about this. David, average rushing yards for the 49ers. Last year, what was their exact number? They finished 30th, bottom 3, averaged 3.8 yards per carry. I went back through on a previous episode. Yeah. That was the worst since the opening year of Kyle Shanahan in 2017 when they had nobody. That was Carlos Hyde.
28, Carlos Hyde.
Bro, it can't be this bad. There's no way it could be that bad.
They got to get back to that at least 4.5 yards per carry number. I think that's the goal, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's when we were dominant. Like, we could not run the ball last year. It was bad.
Couldn't. I mean, it was just 2 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah, it was bad. That changes. They could just imagine how well Christian McCaffrey played last year. And he didn't get his first explosive run until like week 7.
He averaged 3.9 yards per carry. That's not good.
That's not good.
Bad.
The number needs to be close to that 4.5. Like 4.5 or more is what you want. But the good thing is you got more explosiveness. You got some more juice. You got Kalon Black. You got Jordan James. Those guys got a little bit more juice because they're young. So that'll help change it if Bobby Turner and Kyle Shanahan are willing to do what they need to do. You know, things just got to change. They got to find a way to run the ball.
Take a look at yourself. Make a
change.
There we
make
go.
Make that change. There's been a lot of
Michael Jackson
and Batman references today. I love it.
I'm just saying. Peanut Jeff. Team interceptions over under 7. Last year, they only had 6 interceptions, which was 29th.
I got way over this, man. They're getting back to the 20s. This is the year, man.
He led the NFL when he gets 20 interceptions.
Yeah, they going back to dominating the NFL. And I know it's hard to believe because Jair Brown's out there and those guys. But I got a good feeling about Raheem Morris and Gray and getting these guys coached up properly. I do.
Coaching matters.
And if the pass rush is getting home, if that interior pressure is doing what it needs to do, expect a lot of floating balls, like a lot of mistakes from quarterbacks. That's the issue. We couldn't force any mistake. Yeah, we couldn't force any problems.
Just sit back there and relax for a little bit. Just pop up your chair, put on some sunscreen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not anymore. What you eating? Are you eating?
Yeah, man, some trail mix, bro. All right.
Way go, Wade. How many catches does Stripley get his rookie year? I would say I'm going to put the over-under just without any research. 29 and a half receptions?
I think he get in the 30s.
30s?
Yeah.
Oh, man. 30s? I hope so. I hope so.
He's going to get burned. He's just not going to be the guy yet. Unless he has to be. Unless we don't want anything to happen. So I just don't think he's going to be the guy. But he's going to get the opportunities, and he has to make the best of the opportunities.
He's going to get chances. Mike Evans comes off the field. I mean, it's just what it is. So anyway, I hope this has been fun for everybody. I freaking love it. I missed you, Wayne. Glad to be back together.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, a lot of fun stuff. This season, you should be excited. Anything before we jump out of here, Wayne?
Nope. I'm just ready for camp to kick off so we can see some of these battles. John, are you going to any of the practices this year?
That's the plan. They haven't released the dates yet, and I'll be moving and packing and unpacking and all that kind of fun stuff. So we'll see how I can. Dude, I'm getting rid of my car. We're moving into, like, apartment. I'm just, like, going to freaking just.
What? Public transportation?
Let's go. I'm doing it, man.
You're going to bart it up?
I'm simpling life down. It's just going to make it easy. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to try it. I don't know if I can do it, but come from Texas.
I keep
being up here.
I'm looking at Shane's comment, yo. Oh, man, that was a great show, man. Freaking Curb Your Enthusiasm. David. That's my joint. No, but, like, I really, it's summertime. This is our last break before we start going full throttle. So I just kind of want to coast. I want everybody to enjoy their summer. Support us, man. We're going to be putting out recorded stuff, live stuff. Just support the stuff that we do. It's not going to be your typical, usual stuff. But once July gets to the rear end of July and August kicks off, preseason football starts, get locked in because we are going to be going like haywire. Like, and it's going to be crazy, and you want to be a part of that. And I can't wait to see. I'm really excited for this 49ers team. I might be more excited for this year than I was last year. And that's crazy because I thought last year was good, you know, going to be the year. But this year just feels different. The vibe feels different. The camaraderie feels different. The coaching feels different. Everybody feels good coming off of a year in which they lost in the playoffs. So I can't wait till that kicks off, man. I'm here for it.
It's going to be a fun season, man. Can't wait. Wayne, you are the best. So glad to be back with you, man. And until next time, I want to do like a Batman reference, but like same bat channel, same bat time. But I don't think I'm going to next Tuesday.
Are you serious? I don't know
if I'm going to be able to do it next Tuesday. I might be on a plane, but I got to look at my schedule. But anyway, Wayne, you're the best. And until next time, stay strong, faithful. We out. Oh, got to push the button.